Before we turn to our scripture lessons for this day, let us first turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, in the reading of these scriptures, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this day comes from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. You may follow along on page 866 of the Old Testament section of your pew Bibles. Let us listen now for the word of God. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson comes from the book of James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 17. You can follow along on page 230 of the New Testament section of our pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yesterday, as we were preparing to head out for Highlands Helping Hands Day, I shared a pertinent African proverb. When you pray, move your feet. That group certainly did a lot of moving their feet and hands and brooms and weeds and sewing needles. There was a lot of praying and living out of faith yesterday. I grew up in a congregation that had a lot of praying and moving of feet as well. Among my other memories are the times our youth group moved hands and feet because of our faith, as we adopted some homebound members of our congregation. We caroled for them, we raked their yards, we delivered meals, we just sat and visited with them. We also collected school supplies for children in need and made care packages for prisoners. Outside of group activities, I remember my dad, as pastor, spending a good amount of time helping folks whom we called transient at the time, folks not necessarily from Joplin, but just passing through. They were in need of gas or food or a place to stay. First Presbyterian is less than two blocks north of Route 66, and it has a tall, visible steeple, and so many folks found their way there. This time my dad spent with these people in need, it's one reason our congregation was the lead church and worked with nine other area congregations to found Joplin's version of crisis control in 1982. It was called Crossline Ministries, and it still is a strong, vibrant agency in that community, recently breaking ground on an expansion for their food pantry. Crosslines began with this mission statement: concerned volunteers working together across denominational lines to meet human needs in the name of Jesus. Another way I experienced my congregation meeting human needs in the name of Jesus and moving their feet is through the purchase of two buildings. One was a one-story office building, a former law office, just across the street from the church. And the other was a large lodge-type building on a number of acres along the banks of a nearby creek called Shoal Creek. The office building was initially used for extra space for youth meetings, and then it became a community medical clinic staffed by folks from the congregation and the community. The church named the property along Shoal Creek Shoal Kirk and turned it into a retreat center. Shoal Kirk continues to be used for groups inside and outside of First Presbyterian. It was, as I was growing up, a fantastic place for all church picnics and staff getaways, for lock-ins and for confirmation retreats. It was a perfect spot for snipe hunting. The church also offers it free of charge to community groups, so places like Crosslines can have a staff retreat or a volunteer celebration there without taking money out of their own operating budget. Following the horrific and catastrophic tornado in Joplin in 2011, the church shared both of these buildings with Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. Groups from all over the country traveled to Joplin to help with that cleanup. They slept on bunks in these buildings, and they moved their feet and their hands to help heal shattered lives in a shattered community. The presence of those two buildings has enabled the sharing of much kindness. It has enabled the shining of God's light into darker places in that community. The buildings have helped meet the needs of sisters and brothers, the needs that they had for medicine and shelter, for solidarity and compassion, for companionship, and for hope. First Presbyterian Church of Joplin, before I arrived in 1979, all the way through today, has encouraged countless Christians to put their faith into action, to live it out, to move their feet in creative and transformative ways. When you pray, move your feet. The author of the book of James would have appreciated this proverb. In James, we hear, "What good is it if you say you have faith but do not have works?" Basically, he's asking, if you just talk about your faith, if you only pray with words but do not act, then your faith really isn't faith. It is counterfeit faith, and it counts for nothing, he says. Martin Luther King Jr. called this dry as dust religion. This book of James is best known for its insistence on the inseparable connection between faith and works. Whether James speaks of ministering to orphans and widows, meeting the needs of the poor, resisting discrimination, or controlling the tongue, it speaks of works, works that are intrinsically related to faith and to its proper expression. The book of James is concerned about the continuing life of the believer. As one New Testament scholar explains, these works aren't meritorious deeds aimed to win God's approval, but rather they are the fruit of Christian faith. In the book of James, works are not works of the law or legal observations. They are acts of love in the neighbor's behalf, the fruit of Christian faith. They include such matters as the care of orphans and widows, respect for the poor, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and control of the tongue. From James's viewpoint, genuine faith cannot exist without producing this kind of work as the fruit of obedience. Faith, when it is genuine, is inseparable from works, which are its proper expression. We notice that the question in verse 14 is not, what good is it if you have faith but not works? Rather, the question that is posed in that verse is this: what good is it if you say that you have faith but do not have works? To James's way of thinking, faith that fails to issue in works is not deserving of the name faith at all. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, The Message, calls it outrageous nonsense. Listen to how Peterson paraphrases this passage. Dear friends, do you think that you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half-starved and say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? Outrageous nonsense, that's pretty strong. We'd better find ways to keep moving. Verse 15 gets pretty practical about what kind of movement is helpful. A brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food. Practical matters. Supplying bodily needs. Making sure our brothers and sisters are not hungry. Making sure they're clothed. Making sure they have a dry place to sleep. These responses are natural extensions of our genuine faith. They are fruits of our faith, acting out our love for God. We hear echoes of the prophet Micah throughout this section. What does the Lord require? For us to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. Friends, these passages aren't telling us to love God and keep it all right here in our hearts, feeling all warm and fuzzy because we know Jesus loves us. And they aren't telling us to love God and keep it all right here in our mouths, announcing to everyone, spouting off the right words about how much we love Jesus. These passages are sharing the same message that we hear in that African proverb. If you love God, show it. Because what's in your heart and what's in your mouth counts. Move your feet. Move your hands. Share that love with practical examples of it. Share it through food and shelter. Share it through friendship and school supplies. Share it through clothing. Share it through advocacy, giving a voice to those who have no voice. We are not and cannot be Christians in isolation. We cannot just stay inside these nice, comfortable walls and think that we are living into who God wants us to be. Just as we have to move beyond our hearts and our mouths, we have to move beyond our lovely windows and walls to see and to share Jesus in tangible ways. Yesterday, we Highlanders certainly moved beyond our hearts and our mouths, our windows and our walls, to see and share Jesus in this community. With weed whackers and wash rags, with cookies and casseroles, with eggs and aprons, with paintbrushes and packages of diapers. And it felt good. Sure, a lot of us got hot and dirty, and we were glad to get home for showers and maybe a nap. But we valued doing something small, which could make a big difference. We were inspired to learn more about the agencies that we served. We felt motivated by the other volunteers that we met. We appreciated seeing or imagining the recipients of our efforts. The hungry child whose mama brings home a fresh watermelon from the food pantry. The teen support group for eating disorders who meet in a room with fresh paint. The men living at the rescue mission who will enjoy the smells and tastes of homemade cookies. Lives were touched, and none of this work was really that taxing, but we felt alive and spirit-filled as we moved our feet beyond our walls, seeing and sharing God's love in this community. Helping Hands Day is wonderful and inspiring, but it is only one day a year. These agencies and others that we know of in town have needs 364 other days. The Moore School Food Pantry, which we share with Temple Emmanuel, has volunteer needs several times a month. And every store trip could include purchase of household goods or healthy cereal or school supplies for that pantry. El Buen Pastor needs tutors for the school year. The Overflow Homeless Shelter, which we help host with St. Timothy's, will be open every night between December 1st and March 31st. If you can't go out and do as much as you would like, Senior Services can always use phone callers for their telephone reassurance line, folks who check in with homebound and needy elderly in our community. And what agency wouldn't appreciate a handwritten thank you note to the staff and volunteers for the ways that they minister in this community? Friends, let's think creatively. Let's think beyond our walls. How can we as individuals, how can we as a body of believers, as Highland Presbyterian Church, how can we more fully and tangibly live out our faith in Winston-Salem, sharing God's love in transformative ways, sharing the fruits of our faith as we move our paintbrushes and pens, as we move our hands and our feet, sharing with sisters and brothers in need. We can't keep God's love confined in our hearts or just spouted out of our mouths. We can't keep God's love within these walls. We have to share it. What might that look like in our neighborhood and in our community beyond? Let's not be afraid to think big, for God is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or even imagine. May it be so with us. Let us pray.